Well, hello again. This is Brother Thurman with the ABCs of Christian Growth, and I welcome you, brothers and sisters, to this lesson. We're going to start a new lesson today, and it's going to be the third lesson in the letter A, and I'm not sure where it's going to fall in with these lessons. I know they're kind of confusing sometimes, but don't let that trouble you. We're always going to have something to study. Like I said before, as we go through the ABCs, there might be another subject or another topic that we want to study that's going to be stuck in there somewhere, and it might be the second or the third of a letter that we've already studied. So don't let that trouble you any. We'll just go ahead and study it and find out what God's Word says about this truth, and love it and love our Lord and enjoy fellowshipping with His Word just the same. I hope that you're doing all right, and I hope that struggling along. The Bible says that we have to suffer with Christ sometimes, and we don't understand everything about all that kind of stuff that the Bible teaches us, having to do with the deep things of suffering, with exception that our Lord suffered. And it says that if we suffer with Him, then we'll also be glorified with Him. So, and it also says that we're appointed to suffer for Christ. And we go through trials and tribulations and fiery trials, which are to try us. And we come out the other end better. And that we can, and we're, the Bible says that it yields the peaceable fruit of righteousness in us. The Lord's turned us into His Son, into the image of His Son. He's conforming us into the image of Christ. And we should just give Him thanksgiving and tolerate it and forbear and learn the lessons that we need to learn and tell the Lord that, Lord, I want to learn what You're teaching me. And mean it. And mean it. And a lot of times you're just not going to understand the things that are going on, and you're never going to get understanding. It's just faith. You know that the Lord's in charge. You know that He's the one that's that He can turn anything off. There's nothing too hard for the Lord. He can turn anything on, and He can turn anything off. And He can do anything He wants to do. Our business is to trust Him. Trust in the Lord with all thine heart, and lean not unto thine own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge Him, and He shall direct thy path. So that's what we do. All right, today we're going to get into the study number 1B, and what that is the letter A, and it's the third lesson in the letter A, and it's entitled Adoption. Adoption. You say, what in the world? Adoption? Yeah, well, adoption is very important in the Scriptures. And they used to teach that to the very basics when in Sunday school years and years ago. I remember when I first got saved about 40 years ago, one of the very first things that they handed me was a book, besides the New Testament, was a book that had these doctrines in it for me to read about and to understand. There's a lot that goes on when you get saved. When you get saved, a lot of times you're just not sure. Every salvation is different the way that, and some of them are similar and the same, but every salvation is individual to the person between you and the Lord. But it's instituted by the same thing, the shed blood of the Lord Jesus Christ, and it's paid for by the same thing, but it has to go through some legal things, things that the Lord has developed and prescribed, and it's the same thing as adoption here on the earth, or similar to it, that we can understand it by. When an adoption takes place down here, there's not only the compassionate side of the adoption, the people that want the child or want to adopt the person, and they're not flesh and blood, they're not family, they don't belong to the people in any way, form, or fashion, but they're compassionate to the child, and they want it, and they want to take care of it, and they want it as their own. And then there's the legal side of it. Unless the legalities are taken care of, the adoption can't take place, you see. Well, the Lord is the same way when it comes to this matter of salvation. Our salvation, if you could see all of the things that take place when you are born again, now all we really know is that God the Holy Ghost moves in us, just like the Bible says, and that we are regenerated, our spirits are awakened and to the things of God, and that we now know things spiritually and are able to live life spiritually and understand spiritual things. But behind the scenes, there are many, many things that go on. And these are things that are fundamental to our faith and things that we should understand and know about. And the devil's hidden them. And some of the fundamentalists and the preachers have stopped preaching it. Shame on them. But every assembly should of Bible-believing Christians should know these things. Because it gives you security in your walk with the Lord. It increases your faith, and it helps you to understand that the Lord went out of His way to save you, and He done everything that was necessary to save you. He gave His Son, we know that. His Son came down here and was born of a virgin, incarnated into the flesh, and was born of a virgin, lived 33 and a half years on this earth, and went to Calvary to sacrifice the blood that was necessary for the atonement and the remission of sin and our sins. God didn't have no sin. Jesus didn't have no sin. All of the thing of salvation having to do with the blood of Jesus Christ was for our sake. And because God wanted it to happen. And He made it possible. But behind the scene, when salvation takes place for an individual Christian, there are many things compassionately and legally that have to take place and do take place when you believe on Jesus Christ and confess with your mouth and believe in your heart. And one of them is adoption. There are many other things that we're going to study and we're going to get into as we go through the letters of the alphabet here. One of them is imputation. That's one of the things that happens. Another one is justification. That's another thing that happens that you need to understand. Another one is propitiation. That's very important. Very important, and something that you need to understand. Reconciliation is one of them. Redemption is one of them. Remission is one of them. Sanctification is one of them. And others and others. So, you see, these are not just... salvation is something that has taken a place in our lives, and as we grow as Christians from our new birth, and as we grow into adults Christian-wise and grow into people that can, that walk with the Lord, and the Bible says, "Wherefore ye should be teachers, ye have need of milk again," which is not supposed to be the case of Christians. Christians are to grow. The desire of God the Holy Ghost is to teach us and comfort us and to help us to grow in God's Word and to put it to use and to turn in and to fashion ourselves and let God the Holy Ghost fashion us into the image of Christ. Listen to me. If you allow the Lord to make the changes in you that He wants to make, you're going to love the person that He's turning you into. Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. It ain't easy. It ain't easy. The old Methodist said that He'll pull you through if you what is it? What was it? The Lord will get you through it if you can stand the pull. I didn't get that just exactly right, but turning into the image of Christ is not easy because of what we are. We're sinners. We're cursed. Our flesh is, there's no good thing in our flesh, and as long as we're in this body, we have to be, we're being conformed into the image of Christ, okay? And one of them is adoption. one thing that takes place at your salvation is adoption, and that's what we're going to talk about. So, big introduction as far as adoption, but things that we need to know. All right, beginning in adoption. Adoption is one of the many things that happens to a Christian when he's born again. It's vital that a person has to be adopted by the Father through the Lord Jesus Christ. The Bible says that. And the reason is in that if you are not adopted, then you die and you go to hell. Now, wouldn't you say that's pretty important? That you have to be adopted? Yes. Yes. Adoption has to take place, or either you do not belong to God. Now, that's how important it is. Being born again is adoption. Adoption takes place. If you're truly born again, you have been adopted. And if you are not adopted, then you are not born again. That's just the bottom line. Now, the Bible says in 1 John chapter 5 and verse 12, he that hath the Son hath life, and he that hath not the Son of God hath not life. That's simple and just as plain as it can be. And the Bible says in John 3:7, little children, let no man deceive you. He that doeth righteousness is righteous, even as he is righteous. You must be born again, the Bible says. The Lord said that out of his own mouth. Adoption is a word that's found in the Scriptures. It's found five times, all in the New Testament. The term adoption is used and referred to both affectionately and legally in the Bible. The reason for this is not far from what we see in our own society here as humans and human beings, and that there are affections, like we said just a minute ago, love and compassion, the people that are doing the adopting, the ones that want to adopt. There's love and compassion involved among the ones adopting. And the one being adopted, there's love and compassion in that matter. Adoption is a beautiful, beautiful thing when it happens because of the compassion and because of the love that's there. Okay, but also, I mean, in order for it to occur successfully, there are legal proceedings and rules of law that have to be in place for the adoption to occur. Now, we're not just talking about down here, but likened down here, or likened unto the Lord's adoption, is how this down here takes place. There has to be legalities. God is a holy God. And anything that the Lord does compassionately has been taken care of legally in his courtroom and through his court process. The Lord will never do something compassionately and out of his great love and violate his holiness at the same time. Now, listen to this carefully because it's very important. Adoption is a legal matter when it comes to someone being born again, but it is also compassion and love. And now this world is just love, 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 and they don't know anything about God's love, and they don't know anything about the love of Christ. The love of Christ is a suffering love, a sacrificial love. And the world doesn't, when they start finding that out, boy, they hindsight, they take crawfish off of that in a hurry. Sacrificial love? You mean I got to give? That's how come one out of every two marriages is gone. No sacrifice. No sacrifice. Me, 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 me. That's not what adoption is about. Adoption takes place strictly for the other people, for the other person. But it's a legal matter also, and it has to be, your salvation behind the scenes has to be taken care of legally. You can't go to heaven until it meets God's standards legally. Now, I'm not talking about being under the law. The law is what is taken care of and what these things have taken care of behind the scenes because of Jesus' crucifixion. Jesus' blood made it possible for all these things to take place, and this is one of them that happened when you were born again. You were adopted by God the Father and adopted into the family of God, and you are now an heir of God, joint heirs with Christ, and you are a son of God. Son of God. You've been adopted. You belong to Him now. You are in His family, legally and compassionately and lovingly. And you can't get out. Now, the Lord does things by compassion and does them affectionately for man, but He also has a court. And when I say court, I'm talking about legalities. Now, standing before God's throne, if that's not court-like, I don't know what is. But that's not what I'm talking about. When I say court, I'm talking about the legalities behind the scene because of God's holiness and His justice. The Lord said no flesh is going to flaunt in front of Him. No flesh is going to glory in front of Him. There's no such thing. It's not going to happen. Now, that's just a law that the Lord said is not going to happen. It ain't going to happen. It's just not going to happen. But in order for people to be born again, there's a certain setup that has to be taken place. That has to take place. And when you are born again and you believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and you confess with your mouth, like Romans chapter 10 tells us, and you are born again and God the Holy Ghost indwells you, comes in to live in your body, then you are born again and your name is written in heaven. And the angels rejoice. But one thing that takes place is adoption, and it takes place compassionately, it takes place lovingly, and it also takes place legally. This is something that people don't know. He has a court that handles all of these things He desires to be accomplished legally in line with His holiness. If His compassion and His holiness do not agree, things cannot proceed. You see, God's not going to go out of His way to be kind to you if it violates His holiness. The Lord's not going to save you from hell if it violates His holiness. He's not going to compromise His holiness and His glory and His Godhead and His godliness in order to save you. You have to meet the requirements legally also. And Jesus did that for us. When you accept Him, all of these things take place. And one of them's adoption. If His compassion and His holiness do not agree, things can't proceed. The Lord never compromises His holiness to be compassionate. When the Lord exercises His compassion and love, it is always in line with and without contradiction to His holiness and His righteousness. The Lord wants to adopt everybody, the Lord wants to adopt everybody, but it's His way or no way. Let's see what the Bible says about this matter of adoption. We're going to go over several topics here concerning adoption and what happens to the Christian, what has happened. When you're born again, this stuff is past tense. But a lot of people don't know that you hear people say son of God, heirs of Christ, heirs with Christ, heirs of God. What are you talking about? Well, this is what has not been taught concerning your adoption. You were legally, not only compassionately and lovingly adopted into God's family, but you were legally adopted into God's family. The Bible says that you are not your own. You're bought with a price. You're not your own. You belong to God now. You're one of His sons. You're in His family, if you've been born again. Now, the Bible has some adoptions in it as far as human, as far as the way that it happens here with humans, among humans. There are some people in the Scriptures that the Bible talks about adoption that took place among humans. One of them, and adoption is seen naturally in the Scriptures. One of them is Eliezer, remember? Eliezer under Abraham, he was one of the adoptions seen naturally in the Scriptures. The Bible says in Genesis chapter 15, Genesis chapter 15, after these things, the word of the Lord came unto Abram in a vision, saying, Fear not, Abram, I am thy shield and thy exceeding great reward. And Abraham said, Lord God, what wilt thou give me, seeing I go childless? And the steward of my house is this Eliezer of Damascus. And Abram said, Behold, to me thou hast given no seed, and lo, one born in my house is mine heir. So you see, Abraham was taking care of somebody else's that was in his house, that was his heir. And behold, the word of the Lord came unto him, saying, Thou shalt not, this shall not be thine heir, but he that shall come forth of thine own bowels shall be thine heir. So you see, Abraham and Eliezer were involved in this adoption process, so we see that in the Scripture. That's not all. That's not the only ones that had natural adoption in the Scriptures, adoption seen naturally in the Scriptures. One of them was Joseph's sons under Jacob, remember? Remember Joseph's sons? Genesis chapter 48 and verse 5 and 14 and 16, the Bible says, And now thy two sons, Ephraim and Manasseh, which were born unto thee in the land of Egypt before I came unto thee into Egypt, are mine. As Reuben and Simeon, they shall be mine. Adopted. And Israel stretched out his right hand and laid it upon Ephraim's head, who was the younger, and his left hand upon Manasseh's head, guiding his hands wittingly. For Manasseh was the firstborn. The angel which redeemed me from all evil blessed the lads, and let my name be named on them, and the name of my fathers Abraham and Isaac, and let them grow into a multitude in the midst of the earth. You see, adoption. Adoption. Joseph's sons, Ephraim and Manasseh, were adopted under Jacob. And had his name. What else? Well, that's not all. Moses, under Pharaoh's daughter. We remember that one. Everybody knows about that, right? Exodus chapter 2 and verse 10, the Bible says, And the child, Moses, grew. And she brought him unto Pharaoh's daughter, and he became her son. This is when the Pharaoh was killing all the children, and the devil was trying to kill Jesus about this time, remember? And heard that there was going to be, the devil's done that several times through history, these wicked kings and leaders and rulers would kill all the children trying to, they were after something else, but the devil was behind that stuff trying to get the Lord Jesus Christ killed. Okay, but he did not succeed, did he? But the Bible says in Exodus, And the child grew, and she brought him unto Pharaoh's daughter, and he became her son, and she called his name Moses. And she said, Because I drew him out of the water. So we see that Moses was adopted by Pharaoh's daughter, by the Egyptian king's daughter. Adopted Moses, and he lived with her for 40 years, and then we know what happened after that, and then another 40 years in the wilderness, and another 40 years serving the Lord. and on. Acts chapter 7, verse 21, the Bible says this, "And when he was cast out, Pharaoh's daughter took him up and nourished him for her own son." You see, adoption. Adoption is not strange to the Scriptures. It's seen in the Scriptures naturally. And we know about adoption. Adoption's a pretty big thing on this planet right now because there's so many orphans. So much fornication and ungodliness going on. Children being born right and left and just left out or either slam their heads against a dumpster and get rid of them or drown them in a car seat or something, push them off in a river or whatever. But there's all kinds of children from any country in this world that could be adopted if you wanted to adopt one. But not only does it have to be compassionately, people don't accidentally adopt children. There's compassion involved in it. They don't accidentally say, okay, I love a child, get me one from Paraguay. I mean, it just don't happen that way. There's compassion. There's movement in the heart and yearning and affection and desire and these things and that goes on. And then not only that, whenever a decision is made from the heart, then the legalities have to take place. That's not all. There was one other in the Scriptures, and you probably know that right away as I mention it, is found in Esther. Remember Queen Esther? She saved God used her to save the Jews from being annihilated. He put her up as queen, but did you know that she was an orphan? Esther was adopted by Mordecai. Remember? Esther chapter 2, verse 7, the Bible says, "And he brought her up Hadassah." That was Esther's name. That is Esther, his uncle's daughter. "For she had neither father nor mother, and the maid was fair and beautiful, whom Mordecai, when her father and mother were dead, took for his own daughter." Took for his own daughter. He cared. He was compassionate. Mordecai cared about his family. And he cared about her, and he adopted her, and he raised her and took care of her. And she honored him, and she loved him, and she respected his teaching. She respected his authority. And because of that, if she had been rebellious, every Jew in that country would have died. But Esther was obedient, and she was thankful and grateful for the love and the legalities that had taken place because of what Mordecai did by taking her up when her father and mother were dead, you see. And she became a queen. And because of her uprightness and the things that people knew about her and her obedience to the one that adopted her, she saved the Jews. She saved Israel and saved all the Jews from being killed. So we see adoption seen naturally in the Scriptures. Adoption is very important, and adoption is not a strange matter in the Scriptures. Adoption. Okay, and I don't know, there's been questions asked about adoption and what the Bible says about adoption. Adoption is a wonderful and glorious thing. Especially when you know that, find out and realize what has happened behind the scenes, that you've been adopted into God's family legally. You've been forgiven legally. And we get into all that kind of stuff. I mean, in order for God to forgive, he has to accept the sacrifice, propitiation. You see, all kinds of stuff. There has to be imputation. There has to be something applied to you in order for you to be seen as a son of God and forgiven. I mean, all kinds of stuff, and one of them's adoption. You've been adopted. Now, okay, so we see adoption seen naturally in the Scriptures, and we've seen that Eliezer under Abraham, Joseph's son under Jacob, and Moses under Pharaoh's daughter, and Mordecai adopted Esther I think she was his cousin, I think. He adopted her and took care of her. So what else? Well, another fact that we need to understand when it comes to this adoption matter is that adoption, we want to look at it, adoption used nationally. Now, one thing that you're going to have to understand and realize in the scriptures is that Israel, when the Bible speaks of Israel and God adopting Israel, now get this. When the Bible talks about Israel, it's not talking about individual persons. When it talks about God adopting Israel, it's talking about God adopting Israel corporately, as a whole, as one. Not individuals like me and you and all of the born-again Christians individually being adopted into Christ's body. But when the Bible does talk about Israel being adopted and the Lord adopting Israel corporately, as a whole, as a country, or as a nation, that is. So adoption used nationally of Israel in the scripture. Now let's look at that briefly and see what the Bible has to say so I can show it to you. Because when you read in the scriptures about adoption, you're going to find that Israel is mentioned, that it has been adopted. Okay, but it's not the same kind of adoption that we born-again Bible believers, we Christians, we as being part of the church and the family of God have been adopted. We've been adopted personally. When we believed on Christ, we were born into the family of God. Okay? Now, you got to get this, because when you read it in the scriptures, don't get it confused. Israel was adopted nationally, as a whole, corporately, by God. All right? So, the first thing we want to see is that Israel was chosen by the Lord corporately to be his children. As a nation. You see, God deals with people in the body of Christ individually. What the Lord deals with me about as a son of God, he might not deal with you about, because you might not have the same problems that I have. When, and even in a family, when you adopt 10 children, I know a pastor that's just, I think he's up to about 10 children now. He's been adopting these children, and he has like two grown children and two children that are still there that are natural children. And then he has adopted 7 or 8, or I think maybe even 10. I'm not sure how many he's got now, but he's my mother and father's pastor. And they have adopted some children. But every one of those children are individuals in that family, even though they are in the same family. And they don't deal with each one of them in the exact same way. They don't make the adoption as a whole, all of them being in the same thing and it being one adoption. That's what Israel is in the scriptures. They are adopted corporately to be God's children as a nation. As a nation. When the Bible speaks of Israel being chosen by the Lord, it's speaking of Israel as a nation, not as a person's. Not as persons. When it speaks about us, the children of God, the sons of God, the body of Christ, the bride, us being born again and being a son of God, it's talking about us individually being adopted. You see? Very important. Keep that in mind when you're reading in the scriptures concerning adoption, okay? God did adopt and has adopted Israel as his child, as a nation. All right, let's see what the Bible says about this thing, about this matter. Deuteronomy chapter 14, verse 1 and 2 says, "Ye are the children of the Lord your God. Ye shall not cut yourselves, nor make any baldness between your eyes for the dead, For thou art an holy people, plural, unto the Lord thy God, and the Lord hath chosen thee to be a peculiar people, plural, unto himself. You see that? He's talking about Israel. He's talking about the corporately Israel as a nation. All right? Now, in Romans chapter 11 and verse 28, the Bible says, as concerning the gospel, they, talking about Israel as a nation to the Lord, are enemies for your sakes, talking about us that have been born again because Israel turned their back and turned their noses up to the Lord. So the Lord put them aside and gave the Gentiles chance to be saved. And Paul is telling us here, as concerning the gospel, they are enemies for your sakes. And what he means by enemies is that God has taken his he's turned his attention away from them temporarily while he deals with the Gentiles and gets us saved and the body of Christ and accumulates the bride until the bride is fully come in. Everybody's been saved that wants to be saved and can be saved. All can be saved, but that will be saved. All right, but Paul says, as concerning the gospel, they are enemies for your sakes. But as touching the election, they were adopted, they were elected corporately as a nation. But as touching the election, they are beloved for the Father's sake. You see, even though the Lord has set them aside and started dealing with the Gentiles through Paul, he hasn't dumped the Jews. He has made a decision that he chose Israel as his children and his nation, and he's keeping that. He's made them a promise of some land, and he intends to give it to them, and he's going to give it to them. And he deals with Israel as a child, as a nation. Did you get that? Yeah, it's easy. It's easy. All right, but you got to remember that, because when you're talking about adoption in the Scripture, there are two completely different ways of looking at it, because they're different in the way that God deals with people. All right, when he deals with Israel, he's dealing with them concerning adoption, concerning election, adoption, as corporately, as a nation. Okay? Easy stuff, easy stuff. All right, now, what else? What we're talking about, remember, our topic is adoption used nationally of Israel in the Scriptures. Well, Israel was chosen by the Lord corporately to be his children as a nation. All right, God made Israel promise to give them a piece of property and to make it theirs forever and intends to follow through with it. It's going to take until the second advent of the Lord Jesus Christ for it to be completed, but it will happen, and Israel will live in it as God's chosen people, corporately, nationally. Okay? All right, what else concerning Israel? Well, Israel is blessed by God pertaining to their adoption as a nation. They're blessed by God when it's pertaining to their adoption as a nation. They are not blessed as individuals. If a Jew dies during this dispensation and he dies without Jesus Christ as his Savior, he goes to hell just like all the rest of them. Yeah. But as a nation, God is keeping Israel around. And you can read the history books and find out that that is true. All of the things that Israel has been through, and every people on this planet has tried to wipe them Jews out, and you know what? They're still here. And they're going to continue to be here because God has chosen them. He's chosen them and blessed them when it comes to their adoption as a nation. The Bible says in Romans, let's read that, Romans chapter 9 and verse 4 and 5. The Bible says, who are Israelites to whom pertaineth the adoption? Now, see, if you didn't know this thing that God adopted them as a nation, you could get confused right there. You'd think he was talking about them being adopted into the bride or the family of God. Well, if one of them accepts Jesus as Savior, they are. But that has nothing to do with them as a nation. This is dealing with them as a nation, who are Israelites, to whom pertaineth the adoption, and the glory, and the covenants, and the giving of the law, and the service of God, and the promises. What promises? That he was going to give them that land. Whose are the fathers, and of whom, as concerning the flesh, Christ came? And he did. He came to be their Messiah. He came and was their Messiah, and showed up, and they rejected him. So that changed history. The Lord was prepared for it all, but he gave them a chance to accept him. And if they had accepted him, then he would have brought in the kingdom right then. But they didn't. They killed him. Okay? So he set them aside and gave us, or went to the Gentiles. Okay? So, fathers, of whom as concerning the flesh Christ came, who is over all, God blessed forever. Now, that's what the Bible says. The nation of Israel, as a nation corporately, is blessed by God forever. They're going to be around forever. They're going to be they're going to own their land during the millennial reign. They're going to be on that land, and they're going to serve the Lord, and all nations are going to come through them. And they're blessed by God and will continue to be blessed by God, but not as individuals, as a nation. Everybody that's passing through Israel that are Jewish right now in this dispensation are required to receive Jesus Christ as their Savior. And if they turn him down and die without Jesus Christ as their Savior and go into eternity, they're going to open their eyes in hell. Not as a nation, but as an individual. But if they receive Christ, there's neither Jew nor Gentile, bond nor free, in the body of Christ. We're all his. We're all the Lord Jesus Christ. We're all the body of Christ, the bride of Christ. Amen? When you get in the bride of Christ, you're neither Jew nor Gentile, black, white, green, yellow, red, Spanish, whatever you are. You're born again. You're a son of God. You're in the bride of Christ. Now, still moving along, and we're just going to stop pretty quick. I'm going to finish up this part, and we're going to stop because I don't want to get this thing confused for you, but it's been pretty simple, hasn't it? I mean, adoption. We know that adoption is a thing that goes on. We know that it has compassion, that it has love involved in it, but there's lots of legalities that are involved in it also, especially when it comes to the Lord and the Godhead, because we're talking about his holiness. We're talking about his righteousness. All these things have to be taken care of in order for everything to be on the up and up. Because in the Bible, there's somebody that comes into the marriage feast and he doesn't have on a wedding garment. And the Lord says, what are you doing here? And it says he was speechless. And the Lord cast him out cast him out into everlasting fire, where there be weeping and wailing and gnashing of teeth. Very important that you meet the requirements. And if you're born again and have believed on Christ and have trusted him as your Savior, the way this, according to the Scriptures, then you're in the family of God and you have been adopted. And because you've been adopted, a lot of legal things have taken place. And that's what we're going to learn. But as far as Israel in the Scriptures, anytime Israel is mentioned when it's concerning adoption, what are we to think? That the Lord has adopted them as a nation, as a nation, corporately, as a whole, not individually. Okay? That's not all. Israel's blessed by God pertaining to their adoption, and the Bible told us that it was going to be God blessed forever. Amen. So we know that. Now what else? Israel's adoption is realized in history. And we just got through talking about that. Man, if you look back at the history of the Jews and you can't see that that everybody, the devil has tried to wipe them people out, and this world has sent them from seashore to seashore to cross every ocean. I mean, just they've been moved around and moved around, and partially by their own doing because they rejected the Lord. And the Lord, he said, let his blood be upon us and our children. And that was a bad, bad mistake when they said that, because it has been. It has been. Israel's adoption is realized in history as a nation. In Exodus chapter 4 and verse 23, the Bible says, and I say unto thee, let my son go. You see what God's calling them? Son, singular. Well, who's he talking about? He's talking about the Israelites being in bondage in Egypt as a nation. Let my son go, that he individually may, not individually, but nationally, as a whole, that he, singular, nation, may serve me. And if thou refuse to let him go, behold, I will slay thy son, even thy firstborn. And he did, didn't he? He did. So Israel's adoption is realized in history. They are a nation. They are a nation. And they are in God's eyes, they are a son that's been adopted, elected corporately. Okay? All right. Well, we're going to stop right there. And we're going to soak all that in. And let me give you these scriptures. And you be sure to go back over them so you can see what God's Word says about this matter when it comes to adoption. We don't want to get that. I thought it good. Well, the Lord's the one that led through this, but I thought it good that that we start out this way, that you see what the Bible's talking about when it's talking to about Israel as being adopted corporately. Okay. And we see that adoption is natural in the scriptures. There are natural adoptions as between human and human, and things like that, just like there are today. All right. So, and we also seen the adoption of Israel by the Lord. Here's the scriptures. You ready? 1 John chapter 5, verse 12. John chapter 3, verse 7. Romans chapter 9, verse 4. Romans chapter 8, verse 15. Genesis chapter 15, verse 1 through 4. Genesis chapter 48, verse 5, verse 14, and verse 16. Exodus chapter 2, verse 10. Acts chapter 7, verse 21. Esther chapter 2, verse 7. Deuteronomy chapter 14, verse 1 and 2. Romans chapter 11, verse 28. Romans chapter 9, verse 4 and 5. And the last one for today is Exodus chapter 4, verse 23. And that's where the Lord calls, says, let my son go, talking about Israel corporately. God adopted them, and he adopted them as a nation. Okay? And they are still adopted and will continue to be adopted. They are the Lord's people. Okay? And he's made them a promise, and he's going to fulfill it. And he's the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob, and all down through the Jewish history. But unfortunately, they rejected the Lord Jesus Christ, their Messiah, when he came, and they've been set aside. until the fullness of the Gentiles come in, and all the Gentiles are saved that will be saved, and then the Lord's going to come and get the bride, that's us, and then Israel's going to be set back on the main track. Right now, they're set off on the sidetrack, and the Gentiles are being dealt with, okay? But if a Jew is to get born again, which there are, then he goes to heaven in the body of Christ. Yes, yes, he's part of the bride. He's no longer a Jew, Gentile, or anything like that. He is a born-again child of God, son of God. All right. Well, easy stuff, easy stuff. That's our Lord's word. He always makes things so easy to understand. You stay with that Bible. You stay with God's word, King James Bible, and you trust the Lord and believe his word and believe him. And you'd be surprised how these things just blend together so beautifully, so beautifully. That's the way God the Holy Ghost teaches us. Okay, so there we go. The next topic that we're going to get into whenever we return on the next lesson is adoption as used spiritually, not corporately and not nationally, but adoption as used spiritually of Gentiles in the Scripture. You see, there's a difference. That's not a spiritual adoption with the Jews. That's a national adoption. Corporately as a nation. But when it comes to adoption for the Gentiles, now we're getting into spiritual matters. You see? Okay, so there we go. And I hope that this has made good sense to you. I'm sure it has. And we'll get into that on the next lesson. I hope you'll join in. Thank you so much for honoring our wonderful Lord by studying His Word and disciplining yourself and sacrificing your time to give to the Lord. You say, well, that's easy to give to the Lord. Amen. Amen. It sure is, isn't it? Let's just not let the devil trick us out of it. Amen. Well, this is Brother Thurman. I'll talk to you on the next one. Bye-bye.